in Kohela still, there's too much to learn. It's a problem. It's too pasha, too much to learn. Trying to chop everything. So I'll share with you today something I heard from my Rebbe, Rebbe Yankov Zatzal, many years ago, on this pasuk, the beginning of Perek Beis. Shlomo HaMelech, as we discussed in the Hakdomeh, a big part of Kohela seems to be where he's mevatel gashmias. The whole world is hevel. See, he writes as follows: Tarti belibi. Tarti means I search through in my heart, like you go on a tour. It's called losu gasaretz, right? You're looking through. So he was tarti belibi, and he writes limsheich. Basically, Shlomo HaMelech seems to say, I tried to hold on to both. The Gashmias and the Ruchnias. Ada Shereh is a. And he goes through his success. Doubty. So Rabbi Yankov Zatzal said the following pshat. He brought down a famous Gemara. The Gemara brings down, the Gemara darshins the pasuk. Ki yishorim darkei Hashem, v'atzadikim yelchu b'am u'rishorim yikoshlova. So the Gemara darshins the words yelchu b'am and yikoshlova to mean that sometimes a tzaddik and a rosh are doing the same thing. The action is the same. But the intent is different. And the intent makes the difference between a tzaddik and a rosh. That's why he uses the same, Yishorim Darkei Hashem. And in that same road, tzaddikim yelchu b'am, the tzaddik goes down that road to success, u'rishoyim, in the same road where the tzaddik is going to success, the rosh is yikoshlubam. So the Gemara dashes, how is that possible? So the Gemara gives the following example. The Gemara says in Maseches Nazir Daf Chav Gimel, Moshul shnei bnei adam shetzolu pischeim. Two people had a carbon Pesach. Right? One of them ate it l'shem mitzvah. They ate it because Hashem said so. Korban Pesach. Ve'echad ochle l'shem achila gaza. So Bianca asked the following question. So basically the Gemara is saying, here you have two people doing the same thing, both eating a roasted korban Pesach. One of them is eating because he wants to fresh. And the other one is eating l'shem korban Pesach. On that we say, tzaddikim yelchu b'am u'rishoyim yikoshlubam. So Biankov asked the following question. I understand the water way to korban Pesach l'shem shemayim, he's a tzaddik. It's hard to eat a gishmak, a piece of meat l'shem shemayim. The Rupshitza always said, it's much easier for me to be mekayim the mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur than eating erev Yom Kippur. So they asked him, what? It's much harder to fast. He says, no. Avada, it's easier to eat than to fast. He said, oh, but to eat l'shem shemayim, to fast l'shem shemayim, that's pretty easy. What are you fasting for? Right? To eat l'shem shemayim, he said, that's an avoid. To go and eat l'shem shemayim, it's a shver avoid. It could be, because of that, Hashem had rachmonis on us. And even if somebody doesn't eat l'shem shemayim, they get schar. It's a beferish of Rambam. The Rambam paskens that if somebody eats matzah without kavanah, he's yoitz. The same Rambam paskens in Ilchus Shofar that if you blow shofar l'shir, if you blow shofar not to be yoitz a mitzvah, you're blowing shofar for music, you like the sound, you're not yoitz. So everybody has the Kashan Rambam? Contradiction. If the Rambam holds mitzvah tzrichas kavonah, so then you shouldn't be yotzei shofar and you shouldn't be yotzei matzah. And if the Rambam holds mitzvah ain't tzrichas kavonah, then you're not yotzei matzah and you're not yotzei shofar. The Rambam is mizakish to all the trade. The Rambam contradicts himself. By matzah he says yotzei. By shofar says not yotzei. So there's many, many answers to this question. Many. Someone actually, it's a special din by shofar. It's a tefillah, whatever. The vast majority of the tirutzim in the Rambam hold that the Rambam really holds mitzvah tzriches kavona. And that's why by shofar, if you blow shofar without kavona, you're not yet. The Magid Mishnah brings us down. The Ran brings us down in Rosh Hashanah. Really, a person does a mitzvah, they have to be, have in mind to be yetzim mitzvah. But matzah, since you're having hanoah, so mele, it's you don't need kavon. Shekein nene. You have hanoah, you don't need kavon. So the obvious question is, why not? Why don't you need kavon? So one of the answers given al pi drash is this idea that I'm telling you, which is, it's very hard for somebody to have hanoah l'shem mitzvah. It's very hard. It's hard to have hanoah l'shem mitzvah. It's much easier to do something which you don't have hanoah l'shem mitzvah. That's the way it is. In fact, there's a Gemara above a Metzia. The Gemara says if you have a choice, two people to help, your friend and your enemy, who comes first? Your enemy. Right? Your enemy comes first. And the Gemara says a Chiddush. Even if your enemy's matzav is one which really should be second. And the example the Gemara gives is, I see you know, right? What? Oh! Das is Arov! Arov Zeinikel! Das is Arov! The Gemara's example is, the halachas of an animal caved in from its load. There's a mitzvah of prike, to unload it. And there's a mitzvah of tina, to help somebody load his animal. Which is a bigger mitzvah, normally? Unload. Why? You're right. Why? Tzah bal chayim. Because unloading the animal, if the animal's caving in, unloading the animal is also relieving the animal's tzar, right? The animal's in pain. So you have tzai ben odom l'chaveiroi, you're helping your friend. Tzai, you're helping tzah bal chayim. So stamaze, if you're going down the street and there are two animals, one needs to be loaded and one needs to be unloaded. The halacha is the unloading comes first. It's like you have two mitzvahs. But if your enemy's animal is the one that needs to be loaded, then it's better to load your enemy's animal than to unload your friend's animal. Why? The Gemara says, Kayif li Yitzray. Because there you gotta, your Yitzhah doesn't want, you don't want to help your enemy. Right? You don't want to help your enemy. Your Yitzhah is telling you not to help your enemy. So you're going against the Yetzer Hara, that's more, that's better. So, Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, an even bigger madrega would be, if a person has ability that when he helps his friend, he does it with Shem Shemayim. Because then you do it because you like the guy. Right? I always tell people, if you have, you know, by Shiduchim, you're allowed to say Loshon Hara. If somebody asks you information about somebody, and it's Negeh to Shiduch, you're allowed to say Lashon Hara. If you have something bad to say. I always tell people, if somebody asks you information about somebody you don't like, don't give information. Because then you're not doing it L'shem Shemayim. You're doing it because, Baruch Hashem, now I can talk Lashon Hara about the guy. Now I got a cooler to talk Lashon Hara about the guy. Right? If it doesn't hurt you to talk to Lashon Hara, you shouldn't be the one to say it. Refer them to somebody else. Right? So Lamaisa, if somebody eats matzah without kavona, they eat it. So how could the Gemara here in Nozuch of Gimel call the guy who's eating the Korban Pesach Without kavana, how are you calling him a rosh? How are you calling him, even the havamin of the Gemara, how are you calling him a rosh? The Gemara, at the end, gives another mahalach. But the havamin of the Gemara, the guy who's eating matzah, shaloi b'kavona, he's a rosh. How could you call him a rosh? It's a pella. But that's what the Gemara says. Echad achloi l'shem achi l'gase, v'echad achloi l'shem mitzvah. What's going on? Now we know everything in this world is a test. You know, Chaim Briskel was once approached, he was a rov of Brisk, obviously, he was approached by somebody in the town who got an inheritance of millions of ruble, and then he lost all his money. He lost the whole thing. So he came to Chaim Briskel, and he asked Chaim Briskel, why did I lose all my money? Why did I lose all my money? So Chaim Briskel said, you know why you lost all your money? So I'll give you a marshal. He said, a guy gave his son a hunting knife as a gift. He gave his son a hunting knife. The kid wasn't very good with handling knives, and he cut his hand off. He tried to cut something, and he missed, and he cut his hand off. Obviously, what does the father do? Take the knife back. Right? Obviously, not keeping the kid with the knife. Come back without his head. Right? Take the knife away. Guy says, I hear. He says, Hashem saw the way you dealt with money. He took the money away from you. If you don't know how to give the money, took the money away from you. Fine. A year later, one of the guys in town, a big bald stalker, lost his money. So the guy comes to Rabbi Chaim Briskel. He says, I understand, Rebbe. I thought you told me that the reason why I lost my money is because I didn't give tzedakah, like the guy who gave a knife to his son and he cut his hand off. He says, this other guy, he gave tzedakah. So why did he lose his money? Here's the kasha that he asked. So listen to his answer. I'm going to get you his teretz. He writes the following. Says, I asked this to the guy writing the story. Says, I asked this to the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim said, the Reb Chaim Briskel answered him. He says like this. Moshe Lav, you lost your money because you weren't giving tzedakah. So you're like the kid who the father gave a hunting knife and he misused it. So he took the knife away. The other guy who gave tzedakah, and he told him like this, he says, it's a mashal av, this is what Chaim told him, a father, sheshoach b'noi lulmoid noi seploini. He sent the son to learn a certain, a career. Sent him to medical school. And the kid went through medical school, mamish, scored top of his class, and now he's a mumcha gadol. Does the father keep him in medical school? Of course not. Now practice, either practice medicine or go study something else. Now do engineering. You master that. So Chaim told him, that guy who had the money and he gave tzedakah, he passed. Now Hashem is giving him another. Now he's taking another course. Fascinating that Reb Chaim looked at this world. The whole world is training. You didn't give stalker, Hashem took the knife away from you because you're cutting your hand off. You're asking me, that guy, big Bob stalker? He passed the course. Now he's doing, Hashem gave him another mission. Everything in this world is a mission. Every situation we have in this world is a challenge. And we're supposed to accomplish. Right? Most people, unfortunately, don't look at life that way. Okay? They don't look at life that way. If it's a tough day to learn, you don't learn. If you meet a guy that's tough to be nice to, you treat him like a jerk. In your mind, you rationalize. Most people I'm nice to. Most people that are nice to me, I'm nice back to them. That's not the challenge. The challenge is not to be nice to a guy that's nice to you. That's pretty easy. It would be a challenge to be a jerk to a guy who's nice to you. Today you have to be a monster. Right? The day that you wake up and it's hard for you to learn, that's your test. If you look at life that way, then you're tremendously successful. Tremendously matzliach. Everything Hashem sends you is for a reason. And it's not that you should fail, it's that you should pass. And if it's a more challenging day, that means Hashem has bigger plans for you that day. Because that test you're going to pass, you're going to get you're getting your master's degree. You understand? If it's a harder test for that day, that's your master's. And if it's no harder, that's your PhD. That's your yeh, 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 yeh. That's what life is about. And the main thing is, a person doesn't mean you always pass, but you have to always look at everything in life that this is here for me to pass. Right? Some kids are great to their parents. Except, you know, sometimes my mother wakes up in a bad mood. I'm not talking about myself because I never saw my mother in a bad mood, but then, you know, your mother wakes up in a bad mood, and you say, okay, today I can't, the way my mother is today, I can't be mechaber today. You know, that was your Nisayan. All your other Kibbut Avraham. This is your Nisayan. One of the best stories I heard from Revel Yashiv Zatzal, about Revel Yashiv. This is like one of the best stories, and I chazer it over to Baal Batim, I tell it to them multiple times a year. Even though they don't forget it, I want to drill it into the Beinam. Listen to what Revel Yashiv said. There was a Kohl guy that went on vacation with his wife in the summer. And he was a Yosem. He lost his mother that year. So most Avelim, I could tell you as a Rav, most Avelim at the end of the year, one of the things they realize is that you can always daven B'tzibur. Because they end the year and they go, I didn't miss a minyan. Even though normally you think you can't make a minyan every day, when you have to say Kaddish, all of a sudden you realize you can make a minyan every day. So this guy was on vacation with his wife. He went to Haifa. And he was planning to daven in a particular shul to say Kaddish for his mother. Anyway, he went there for a minute. There was no minyan. No minyan. So he started making frantically calls, trying to figure out where there was a minyan. The closest minyan that he was able to find was 45-minute drive away, and he didn't have a car. He went to Haifa by bus. He didn't have a car. So it'd be a matter of taking a cab 45 minutes there and 45 minutes back. That's an expensive cab. And he's a coral guy. He's not a guy swimming in money. But he decided for his mother, has to say Kaddish, he's going for it. He took a cab to say Kaddish, he took a cab to Daven Mincha, then he took a cab back, he said Kaddish. He got back to Yerushalayim. He was thinking to himself, he mamish gave away like a week of his hachnosa to say Kaddish. He was thinking to himself, maybe I wasn't mechuyev to do that. You know, the Yetzer Hara comes to you not only before you do a mitzvah. It comes to you after you do the mitzvah, like the Rosh says. He tries to get you to have charota, you did the mitzvah. So the guy was thinking, maybe I didn't have to do that. Maybe I splurged too much for my mother's Kaddish. Maybe I splurged too much. He decided he's going to go to Revel Yashiv to ask him a shayla. This is what happened by Revel Yashiv. He walks into Revel Yashiv. He tells Revel Yashiv the story. He says, Rebbe, was I obligated to do what I did? So Revel Yashiv looks at him straight. He says, no, you were not obligated. They just wasted all that money. Just before he got a chance to think, Revel Yashiv looked at him. He says, but let me tell you something. I am jealous of that Kaddish that you said. I, Revel Yashiv, I'm jealous of that Kaddish. And the guy goes, wow, Revel Yashiv is jealous of my Kaddish? He said, and I'm not just jealous of that Kaddish. I'm jealous of every Kaddish that you said the whole year. Goes, wow. He says, Rebbe, why? So listen what Revel Yashiv told him. What a life's lesson. We do mitzvahs every day. Every day we do mitzvahs. And some of them are easier, some of them are harder. Right? Eating kosher these days is not so hard. I grew up in a world where it was harder. It wasn't so hard either, but it was harder than it is today. You know, when a woman went from home, you didn't have kosher. You went away from home. Today, what do you mean? Today, you have restaurants wherever you go. You can get the Chinese. You can get whatever type you want. You want Oriental, you can get Oriental. You can get whatever kosher food you want today, anywhere. Come out anywhere. Right? But those days, it wasn't like that. You know, Pesach used to be like, it's the potatoes. What do you eat on Pesach? Potatoes. Today, what don't you eat on Pesach? Right? It was a different world. Like I told you, keep it aveim. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's hard. Right? When your father just bought you, for your 17th birthday, a brand new car, it's very easy to have keep it aveim that day to him. You're feeling very good about him. Right? If it's the day that he locked you up in your room, it's very hard to have keep it aveim to him. Depends how you're feeling. Rav Yashiv said the following, how does Hashem give you reward? So many of your mitzvahs were so easy. You walk in Beis Medrash, the air conditioning is off. And it's 90 degrees outside. Rav Ben Tzion Feldman says, Chatzadik Uvroche. He was learning with his chavrus in Ponovich. And it was hot. And they thought they can't learn anymore. It was just too hot. They were close to the Chazon Ish. They decided they're going to go to the Chazon Ish to ask him for an eitzah, for a schooler. How do you learn when it's so hot? They didn't have air conditioning in those days. Okay, the world I grew up in, we didn't have air conditioning in school. You sweated bullets. Shreklach. I had yeshiva 11 months a year. We weren't off in the summer. We had yeshiva 11 months a year. Plastic chairs. I still remember sticking to the chair. I used to get up every couple of minutes just so I shouldn't be permanently affixed to my chair. Yeah. It was stifling. So Rabbi Tzion Feldman went to the Chazon Ish. He went with his chavrusa to the Chazon Ish. Again, the purpose was to ask the Chazon Ish, how do you get a schooler to learn in this kind of heat? So they come. It's boiling hot. Bnei Brak, the Chazon Ish is schwitzing on a sugya. Okay, they figured they'll wait till he finishes. They wait. An hour, 2 hours. He doesn't budge. He's schwitzing. Finally, after 6 hours, the Chazon Ish picked up his head. Shalom Aleichem, what can I do for you? First of all, they already had their answer, watching him for 6 hours. But they figured once they were there, they asked him the shaila. He said, heat? You feel heat when you're learning? He says, the heat is only like for the first couple of minutes till you get into the sugya. Once you get into sugya, you don't feel anything. You just feel the sugya. That's what Chazon Ish said. That's what we do, man. Heat? Yeah, when you first sit down, you feel it's still hot. This is while he was sitting there sweating bullets. Right? So listen to what Eliashib said. But most of the time you're learning, you had a geshmak of breakfast. You had a good night's sleep the night before. And you're in a room that's 68 degrees. And you have a Rebbe who's geshmak warm and gives you some jokes. And hot cocoa with Rabbi Scheinberg. Life is pretty good. This is not Europe. You're learning in a ghetto somewhere, in some dungeon, running away from the Kazakhs. Yeah, it's gone fine. So how much reward does Hashem give you? It's not so hard what you're doing. Rabbi Perry looks pretty geschmack. No? Are you in pain now? It's gone geschmack. Where else would you want to be now? I'm putting him on the spot. Nowhere, no. Right here. It's geschmack. So he said, Rav Eliashiv said the following. Hashem takes the mitzvah you're doing now, and he says, let me see the hardest time you ever had to do this mitzvah. What was the hardest time you ever had to do this mitzvah?
I remember Perry. I remember he was sitting in the Beis Medrash one day, the air conditioning broke. It was 98 degrees. And he sat the whole morning and learned. Hashem says, you know what? He showed me what he's ready to do. Now every time he learns, I give him that reward. So now that you did it, your mother just finished cursing you out. Not Hashem cursing you out, but giving it to you. And then she says, would you mind getting this? And you go, sure, mom, go do it. That wasn't gishmak at all, to do what your mother asked you. Now the Rebbeinu Shem gives you that schar. When you buy the dealership, and your mother just signed a lease on a brand new Porsche for you, and she told you in 2 years she's renewing it for the next Porsche, maybe Ferrari next time, and while they're signing the paper, she goes, maybe Gibran gave me a cup of coffee. Of course he wanted his coffee. You get the same schar for that cup of coffee like the time when you brought your mother a cup of coffee right after she gave it to you over the head. You raise the stock of your mitzvahs. Rav Eliashiv told him, every Kaddish that you say now is worth as much as that hardest Kaddish, that Kaddish that you paid hundreds of shekel and you spent an hour and a half to go say that Kaddish. Now every Kaddish you say is worth that much. What an unbelievable idea. So when you hear this word from Rav Eliashiv, you realize every time you do something that's a little harder, first of all, that's your test for now, and that raises the value of everything that you do. Puts it on a whole different level. It's not easy to eat a Korban Pesach. L'shem Korban Pesach. L'shem Mitzvah. Not easy. But you should at least be striving to do that. You should realize that's a test. If you look at the Gemara notes, and the Gemara says, Echad Ochoi L'shem Mitzvah. The Echad Ochoi L'shem Achi L'gase. He wasn't even trying. Doesn't say he's Ochoi Achi L'gase. Rav Yankov says, then he wouldn't be a Rosh. He's Ochoi L'shem Achi L'gase. He's not even thriving. He's not even looking, okay, this is my challenge. Let me try to grow out of it. Rabbi Yankov says, if you don't try to grow out of your challenges, you remain a Rosh Hashanah. If anything that's hard in life, you just surrender, and you don't even try, Chas V'Shalom, that's Pshat. Echor Ochlei L'Shem Achi L'Gaz. Okay.
Never have because I don't like lamb or steak. So
bark. Oh wow! Do you have your own steaks?
Yes.
That you do like?
No, I don't like steak.
I don't mean steak. I mean
yeah, you got.